And so that's what Paul is trying to convey, this importance and this necessity that we not just grow, but that we're supposed to have super growth. We're to increase and to abound and to super abound.
I choose to listen and believe the voice.
Have you planted any fruit trees or vegetables at your home this year? Are you seeing any results from your gardening efforts? By the same token, if your heart was a garden, what should you be planting in it? What type of fruit should you be producing, and how would you help it to grow? Welcome to the Voice of Truth with Pastor J.D. Glasscock of Calvary Chapel, Houston Metro. The Bible tells us that the human heart is designed to be changed and cultivated by the indwelling Holy Spirit. God expects our heart to bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit, and the foremost of these is love. Pastor J.D. will explain more in his message, Which Way Are You Growing?
Would you turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3? So, okay, here we look at this passage, chapter 3, verses 11 through 13. And we might look at this passage and say, well, this is one of those I'll just kind of move aside. You know, let's get on to the rapture in chapter 4. You know, that's exciting stuff. But I believe we'll find that as we really dig into the Word of God, we're going to discover that in every verse here, there's something for us to really grasp a hold of, and I hope that this will help us. Now, as we look at this, verses 11 through 13, furthermore, it's a prayer, and sometimes messages about prayer, you know, people don't really like that because you come away convicted, right? You know, always. But I'm not going to talk about prayer, so you can relax about that. We are going to talk about what the content of Paul's prayer was. So I would like for you to look with me at this very short but very powerful prayer beginning in verse 11 of chapter 3. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way to you. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all of his saints. I've entitled this message, Which Way Are You Growing? Which way are you growing? Spiritual growth was Paul's primary concern for the church at Thessalonica and really for the church at large. Paul's heart and his prayer was to see people grow and mature and to develop that they may be strong in the Lord. In Christian vernacular, we sometimes refer to this as becoming more Christ-like. And this may seem like a very tall order. It certainly is, and we couldn't do it on our own. There's no way that I could say, well, I'm going to be Christ-like today, listen, without the help of Jesus Christ himself. But this is what the mandate is for us, is that we're to grow up and we're to be like Christ. We're to be like Christ. I would like for you to notice a key phrase in our text. Notice with me in verse 12 these words, and may the Lord make you to increase and to abound. Now the words increase and abound, they have the same meaning in the original language. As I studied it, I thought, well, really, what's the difference between increase and abound? And as it turns out, the word increase in the Greek is translated to abound. But then when you get to the word abound, it's translated to superabound. So we might say we're to increase, or we're to have super increase, or we're to grow, or we're to have super growth. And so that's what Paul is trying to convey, this importance and this necessity that we not just grow, but that we're supposed to have super growth. We're to increase and to abound and to super abound. And that's what Paul is writing here as he begins this, and may the Lord make you to increase and to abound. But I'd like for you to notice that there are three virtues or three areas in our life, in our Christian walk, that we are to grow. And Paul points all three of these out in this passage. Number one, we're going to look at faith. All of us are to grow in faith. And the second one we're going to be looking at is love. We're to grow in love, and then finally hope. Now that probably sounds familiar to you, faith, hope, and love. And so we're going to begin, first of all, with faith. Paul declares that his great desire here for the Thessalonians, that they would be believers that would grow in faith. I would like for you just for a moment to look back at verse 10. Paul says, night and day, praying exceedingly that we may see your face and perfect that which is lacking in your faith. That we may see your face. that we may be with you, that we may come and that we might spend time with you, that we might further share with you the Word of God so that you might understand more and that you might have a greater and a deeper knowledge of Jesus Christ. And listen, as you do, as you understand and as we share with you, we expect that you're going to grow in faith and that we're and that, that which is lacking in faith will grow, will be perfected. It is through afflictions that many times distress and tribulation and hardship that we learn to lean on Jesus Christ and we learn that He will be our strength and that, listen, it's not all up to us. You and I, we're not carrying this load of life by ourselves. Jesus Christ, He is there. We lean on Him and we learn to trust in Him and we learn to believe in Him and that, hey, He's going to pull us through whatever it is. He's going to bring us out whatever we're in. And so we learn to just say, hey, I trust you, Lord. We find that affliction causes us to be strengthened in our faith, hardship. But what we discovered is that the Word of God also is there that we might grow and that we might learn and that we may understand Jesus Christ more. The understanding of Jesus Christ by the Word of God, that we may grow, we may understand Him more. Why? So that we can grow up into the fullness of Jesus Christ. It's by the Word and by understanding the Word of God. And so that's what Paul is talking about here. He said, I wanted to come in verse 10. We prayed exceedingly that we may see your face and we may perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Number two, Paul says in verse 12, notice with me here, it says in verse 12, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love. May the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you. Now, here, like faith, the church at Thessalonica, they were well known. They had a reputation for their love. You remember going back to chapter 1 where Paul acknowledges, he said, listen, I thank God for your work of faith and your labor of love. They were a church that had a reputation. They were known throughout the region for their labor of love. So it wasn't that they were lacking in love. And you and I, it's not necessarily that we're lacking in love, but listen, as believers, we're to grow in love. We're to increase and we're to abound and we're to superabound in love. Now, by now you're probably thinking, I wished he would have taught on prayer. Because really, this is an area where all of us, I think, we fall short, don't we? We fall short. We're lacking in love. And this is surprising. Because really, this is the mark of the believer, is that we have love for one another. And yet, so often, we fall short. And I got to tell you, honestly, what is it? We're very nearsighted, I believe. We're focused upon the big me. We're focused upon the big I. And we're not looking out at others and saying, listen, what about you? How can I love you? What are your needs? What's going on in your life? We get so inward focused and focused on our own issues. And here Paul is saying, listen, we need to abound in love and we need to grow in love. And we need to look at the other person and say, it's not just about me. God wants me to love you. God wants you to love me. God wants us to love each other. And that's really the love that He has poured into our hearts. He wants us to share with one another. But so often we find that in the church, love is lacking. I don't know if you've ever been to a loveless church, but it's a sad place to walk into, and it's even a sadder place to walk out of. A loveless church. So we're to be abounding in love. Now, what exactly does this love look like? I'd like for you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We're going to look at the definition really of what love is. What is love? 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We're going to be looking at verses 4 through 7. Verses 4 through 7. Notice with me here. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up. It does not behave rudely. It does not seek its own. is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Now, what are we talking about here? Are we talking about Hollywood love? No, I don't think so. We're not talking about that sensual kind of love here. What we're talking about is what the Bible terms as God's agape, God's perfect, God's unconditional love. And so when we talk about the way we're to love one another, this is what we're talking about. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 7. This is godly love. We discover, if you will just turn back with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Look with me at verse 12, because we discover that using this kind of love, this definition of love, there are two groups of people that we're to love. Two groups of people that we're to love with 1 Corinthians 13 kind of love. You'll notice with me first, it says in verse 12, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another. To one another. Who's he talking about here? Well, look who's on your left. Look at who's on your right. Who's sitting in front of you? Who's sitting behind you? This is who it's talking about. Look around you. It's the church. It's fellow believers in Jesus Christ. Now, it may be your husband or your wife, but it might also be somebody else you don't even know. And so we're to love one another regardless of who it is within the body of Christ, regardless of what you think of them or what you think of their personality. Listen, the Bible says that you are to grow in love and you are to abound in love. You are to superabound in love for one another. And that's what we're to be as the body of Christ. We're to be a people that are marked by superabounding love for each other. That's what the Bible teaches us, is that we are to love one another. Now, there's a second group of people that we find, and this one is not so nearly exciting to love. It's the second group of people here that we're to love with this 1 Corinthians kind of love. Verse 12 says here, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another. And what does it say next? And to all. We're to be a people that is filled with the love of God and that we love others. Jesus, he brought this whole idea together. He said, you may recall in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, verses 43 and through 47. I'm going to read this to you. It's a little bit lengthy, but I think it's worth noting. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. Now, pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and he sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? I think that nails it right there, guys. Jesus said it. He said we're to love everyone. We're even to love those who you would consider your enemy. Tall order, isn't it? Can't do it on our own, guys. Impossible. It must be the love of God. I think as Stephen was there and he was being stoned and he was down in that pit and they were throwing rocks on him, listen, what did it take for him to look up into heaven and see the Lord himself and say, oh Lord, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Now that's just the love of God. Can't do it without it. We can't do it without it. We need the love of God, and that's the only way that we can love all people with this 1 Corinthians chapter 13 kind of love. Now, number three, we've looked at, first of all, faith. We've looked at love. We're to be growing in faith. We're to be growing in love. But I'd like for you to notice with me next, though the word hope is not in this passage, we're to be growing in hope. Look with me at verse 13. It says, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all of his saints. Well, where do you get the word hope in here? Well, actually, if you go to chapter 4 and you look at that passage regarding the rapture, that's where it talks about hope. That's where we discover that, listen, it's the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ back to get to receive us unto himself that is the hope of the believer. And I don't know about you, but the more that I live in this present world, the more that I look forward to that. With increasing knowledge, the Bible says, comes sorrow. And I look around at the world today, and as I read the papers and I read what's going on, it's not that I walk around in depression. But I do walk around and I recognize that, you know, there's nothing that's going to fix all of the issues that are going on in the world today. There's only one thing that can fix it. Only one thing. And that is when Jesus Christ comes back, as the Bible says he will, and he establishes his kingdom upon here on this earth, and it's going to be a kingdom of peace and a kingdom of joy, and we'll reign together, and there will be no more sorrow. There will be no more crying. There will be no more pain, the Bible says. And you know what? I can hope in that. That's something I can look forward to and say, listen, put the newspaper behind me, put all that's going on in the world behind me, because listen, we have this wonderful kingdom that we get to look forward to, and we hope for that. And we look forward to that. And listen, that's the hope that we have here as Paul is talking about Jesus Christ coming with all of his saints. But there's some things that we need to note in here in this passage. First of all, it says that he would establish your hearts. What does it mean to establish? Well, the word here means to strengthen. Would you agree with me that in these times our hearts need to be strengthened? We need to be strong. We need to be steadfast. We don't want to be weak-kneed Christians. We need to be strong in the Lord because, let's face it, we're in a world where there's manifold temptations out there. You've got the internet out there with pornography. You've got billboards with pornography. You walk into the store and you see it on the shelves. And so you've got the pride of life. You've got financial gain. You've got all these things that are out there that are tugging at you, saying, come to me, enjoy me. You know, and so you have in this world today tremendous manifold temptations. And listen, unless you are strengthened, unless you are established, unless you are strong in the heart and in your faith and in your walk, you know what? It's going to be rough going for you. It's going to be hard. You're going to find yourself falling and being down all the time. But listen, here Paul is saying that he may establish your hearts. That was Paul's prayer, is that he may strengthen your heart. Now, why does Paul focus on the heart here? Well, really, it's because it's our heart that is the center of human emotion. That's the center of our thought or our purpose is the heart, isn't it? Proverbs 4:23 says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. And listen, I'd say as believers in Jesus Christ, we need our hearts strengthened. And we learn that as we read this prayer. Oh, how we need to be established in our hearts. We need to be established in our hearts. Next, Paul says, blameless in holiness. Now here, Paul is praying that their heart would be strengthened. And number two is that it would be purified. That we would have pure hearts. That we would have blameless hearts. That we would walk in holiness as believers. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, John writes, beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this what? This hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. But I don't know. I look at all this process of purifying and wanting to be and desiring to be blameless. And you know what? It's not an instantaneous process, is it? It's not something that just happens like that. It's a lifelong process. Someone wrote the church should be a community of dates instead of pumpkins. Pumpkins you can harvest in 6 months, and dates have to be planted and tended by people who will not live to harvest them. Dates are for future generations. I believe that one of the areas of where we need patience just simply is with one another. We need to be patient with each other because, yes, it is our hope in the return of Jesus Christ, and we are to live blameless and pure in heart, but we find ourselves so often kind of stumbling along the way, don't we? And we need to be patient with each other because it's a growing process. It's something that takes place, not instantaneous, but over years of walking with Jesus Christ. And so let me ask you, you find yourself, you struggle, and you find those areas of your heart that you look at and you go, you know, that's far from being blameless and that's far from being holy. Absolutely, don't we? How do we come to that place where we grow more and become more like Him? How do we get to that place? It's been noted, husbands, wives, the rest of you too, but it's been noted that husbands and wives who have been married for a long time, they become like each other. They begin to take on some of the same characteristics. It's been noted. My wife hasn't grown any taller. I won't say that, but I've shrunk an inch and a half since I've been married to my wife, and it's kind of a exponential shrinking, and I figured that in another 23 years, we're going to be the same height. So, but we do become more and more like each other. The more time we spend together, I don't know about you, but like with my wife, you know, I find that many times we immediately will respond to something at the same time with the exact same words. We'll say the same thing or we'll laugh the same way at something. You know, it's because we've been together for so long. And do you know that the church, we're the bride of Christ? The Bible says we're the bride of Christ. What does this tell us? That as the bride of Christ, if we want to become more like the groom, we need to spend more time. We need to look at Him. We need to just behold the Lord. Look upon Him. Meditate upon His Word. Think about Him. Pray to Him. Talk to Him. Allow Him to speak to us. Allow Him to share with us and spend time in the Word of God. Know the Lord. Know the groom. The bride of Christ must spend time with the groom. And you know, you're going to find that over time as you do that, you're going to take on His characteristics. You're going to grow to be more like Him. You're going to look at some things you're going through now, and in 10 years, 15 years, if God willing, if we're still here, you're going to look back at that and say, I'm so glad I'm not in that anymore. I'm so glad God has taken me out of that. I'm so glad that God has grown me out of that. And I now can look back and I can say, you know what? I'm more like Him today than I was back then because you've been with Him. You spent time with Him. That's what we need, church. We've talked about three things this morning, haven't we? First of all, we've talked about faith. We need to grow in faith. We do that by being in the Word of God, by going through trials, tribulation, difficulties, but we need to grow in love, don't we? We need to be a church that is loving one another. Number three, we need to grow in our hope, knowing that Jesus Christ, listen, His coming is imminent. It'll be soon, and He wants our hearts established, strengthened, to be pure, to be blameless. I'd like to close with a passage that gives me great hope. It's in Jude's gospel. Now unto Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever.
You have been listening to The Voice of Truth with Pastor J.D. Glasscock of Calvary Chapel, Houston Metro. For a copy of today's message, call 281-499-6301. That's 281-499-6301. And mention today's date, or you can visit our website at calvary.cc. Calvary.cc. Calvary Chapel meets for worship services every Sunday morning at 9:30 at 7711 Brazewood Boulevard in Houston, Texas. We also have a midweek Bible study Wednesday evenings at 7. Thank you for listening, and we hope you will join us again for the next broadcast of The Voice of Truth.